Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky, Savitsky Talks. And today, as always, we always have interesting people on our program. And today we have Dr. Mendel Singer, who's an associate professor of public health at Case Western Reserve University and is also the director of the Jewish Community Health Initiative, which we'll find out all about in a few minutes. Dr. Singer, how are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, that's good to hear that. Wonderful to hear that. And, you know, in the fall edition of the Jewish Action, we actually have an article which is called, it's the Wellness Report, Weighing In on Obesity in the Firm Community, written by Shira Eisenberg, and she quotes you quite extensively in the article. And so we really wanted to have you on the program to really talk about this issue, which is obesity in the Frum Orthodox Jewish world. Is it a real issue? I mean, would you say in general people who are Orthodox are more obese than the average person who's out there, who supposedly Americans are always obese anyways, right?
Yeah, people wonder about that, and they ask me about that. I think actually, and from data that I'm familiar with, it's actually lower in the Orthodox community, but it's still terrible.
So you're saying it's lower than the average American, but it's still overweight.
Right, so it's less horrible.
Okay, so it's less horrible than it was, but, I mean, so it's not worse than everybody else, but it's just bad because it's just bad in general, that's all.
Right, so we're looking at, say, a little more than half of Orthodox adults being overweight or obese as opposed to two-thirds.
Okay, that's a positive thing. Okay, we're always looking for positive things in this program, okay? You know, in the Jewish world, we have too many negative things and crisis, so always looking for some positive things. So positive things, we could have a headline. Orthodox Jews are less obese than the average American. How about that? That would be interesting. But that's not what we're trying to talk about anyway. Anyway, so the thing is, it's interesting. As I was reading her article, of course, she talks about you, but she also mentions that in general, it turns out the people who are more or less religious, who have a religious lifestyle, they tend to smoke less and have generally better health and lower overall mortality rates, heart disease, and so on. But they also tend to be more obese. Now, this kind of seems like a steerer, so to speak, as we would say, right? How does that fit?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the evidence on more religious communities of many different faiths that they've done reports on, including with Jews, shows better overall health and lower mortality across the board. On the other hand, when it does come to eating habits and exercise, we don't see the same thing applying as well. And part of it, I think, may just be that what the emphasis is. You know, you can only emphasize so many different things to do with your time and in your life. And so it may be that the greater focus on spirituality and leading an appropriate lifestyle, it may be that by default we lose some of the emphasis, maybe a little bit, lose a little too much, but we lose a little emphasis on the proper diet and exercise.
But would you say that maybe because people, in general, any religion, live a religious lifestyle, their quality of life is better, their family life is better, their stress is less, maybe they have more enjoyment in life, and so therefore their mortality rate is, you know, lower. And, you know, even though they may be obese, but somehow they've been able to compensate for that to a certain extent.
Yeah, there is certainly in the religious communities there. That's true. That there is a fair amount of evidence for that. That there is less stress and less stress related disease, or to some extent. Although, from the data I've seen in the Orthodox Jewish community, a little that's available at least, rates of heart disease and are really fairly comparable. But I think that it may be also that in more religious communities that when they're ill, they do better at managing it.
Mm-hmm.
We have more social support and strong and help people do better and they address the issues when they become problems. I think in the Orthodox Jewish community, the issue isn't so much how we do once people are sick, but we're not doing enough to keep people from becoming sick.
Okay, so it's kind of more like preventative and the wellness care as opposed to, you know, God forbid somebody gets sick. We do have a good support system and a loving and caring system, which is nurturing, which is very, very good.
Right.
And people in the article that you quoted as saying that the time commitment for things like exercise is very difficult in the Orthodox Jewish world. So I guess that being the case, what do you suggest? I mean, how where do people get the time for this? I mean, some people just don't have the time to do it.
That's certainly a great challenge, and part of the way to deal with it is to either you find holes and little gaps in the day. Like some people take an approach of they take a 10-minute walk several times a day, so that you can just, so you find the little spots rather than trying to find a block of time. Others will do is you combine it with learning. So if you do a brisk walk and with an MP3 player and you're listening to Shurim, then you know, you see you're still learning at the same time you're getting in your exercise. And I think it is that multitasking that's approach that we need to do more of, to be able to use the little time that's available better.
So now we're going to have to figure out how to do like chavrusa power walking together, you know? That would be a new thing.
Exactly. I really wondered and thought about talking to Nicolaite about what happens if the chavrusas, after a certain point, they go out and take a brisk walk, and then they chazo over outside the Gemara and go while they're walking.
It's probably a good idea, you know? That's probably not a bad idea at all. It would be nice to see that, you know, and just even talk about, like in basically you have like two people, like you take something simple. Let's say the Parshas HaShavua, and two people learn it, okay? And then when they finish learning it, each one has certain questions, because inevitably, you know, that's the greatness of our Torah, that we have questions, and every day we learn something new. That's what makes Torah so beautiful. So you learn the Parsha, and then you take a nice brisk walk with your friend, your Chavrusa, your wife, how about that, or your husband, that would be interesting, mm-hmm. And then, you know, start talking about the Parsha. Hey, you know, here's something I didn't understand, what do you think about this? And you walk for a half hour, brisk walk, and then at the end, boy, you know, imagine if you did that like for couples. It would be good for marriage counseling, good for exercise, good for Torah learning. We just solved all the problems in the world, Mendel, huh?
And the great part about doing the brisk walk is that afterwards you're energized. And so whatever you're going to do next is going to improve as a result.
That's great. Now tell the audience a little bit about, what is a Jewish Community Health Initiative? What is that?
Okay. I've been involved with public health as a professor here at Case Western Reserve. And in public health, they do a lot of efforts at poor and underserved communities, and we're using community health methods. We take advantage of the resources, infrastructure, of the people in the community that are all interconnected, and they work together, and they have leadership in the community, and try to take advantage of that to promote various health messages of leading healthier lives or going to get screenings for different illnesses and so forth. The methods work, and I want to see those same methods work in the Jewish community. We have great infrastructure, tremendous volunteerism, people care about each other, and we have good resources. We can do it, and we can sustain the efforts. So that's really what it's about. So the first steps are, I work a little bit with Jewish Family Services. I've been doing research. I've been doing health surveys I've done in all the Jewish middle schools in Cleveland, Orthodox and not Orthodox. I'm preparing reports to the schools, and I'll also be preparing reports for public dissemination on a broader scale. And the idea being to see, you know, how are we doing, where are the weaknesses, and try to gain the information we need to know how do we address the issues better. And then the next step is to start looking at developing programs and so forth. And my hope is that through the Jewish Community Health Initiative, we can help orchestrate these efforts, develop prototype programs that can then be put into place in Jewish communities across the country.
Okay, so right now you're working in Cleveland trying to develop the model, and then hopefully if it works, let's roll it out to different places around the country, right?
Correct.
And when are you actually going to be finishing with your modeling this thing?
Well, there's many different aspects. So in terms of the research reports, they're being finished up, and over the next couple of months, they'll start getting out, and we'll start disseminating. We've got each of the Jewish schools here committed to participating in Health and Wellness Coalition, so that we'd have membership from each of the schools. That means we can go in as a community-wide effort, including three Orthodox schools, one conservative, one community school. And that puts us in a much better position to be able to gain funding for interventions, and also for doing community-wide, across all the schools, for doing like in-service days, for things like helping teachers to recognize teenage depression and eating disorders. Moving forward, I have a project that I'm working out the last details of the proposal for a Healthy Jewish Homes project, where we would have monthly ladies group meetings on health and safety themes, but the Jewish Community Health Initiative would be driving and providing the resource behind it to be able to give them monthly professional flyers, to provide videos for talks from featured speakers, and to help run it and help train the leaders and run teleconferences with all the group leaders to make sure that we're all sharing information and learning from each other and doing the evaluations. So that's like the first program, I think, that we want to roll out. And right now it's just a question of finishing up the proposal and then getting the funding to get it started.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, it really sounds great. It sounds like something that we definitely would be interested in at the Orthodox Union. You know, we promote safe homes, safe shuls, safe schools. We've done a lot with teenagers at risk and all kind of things. So this is something that would definitely be up our alley. So certainly keep us in mind as this thing progresses, because the shuls we have around the country, it wouldn't be bad even to have a Shabbos. You could designate a Shabbos as health Shabbos or whatever you want to call it, and you find a parsha that you feel best, and there's not a problem. We'll always find a parsha that could fit in, and then we have maybe even rabbis who give sermons about it, and then maybe you have a health screening on that Sunday. Maybe you have a health screening where people can come and get blood pressure checked, and they can get other things done. And yeah, I think it's a really great thing. It's a great thing to do, and I applaud you for it. And we look forward to some of your research. And so it sounds very, very good. But you also the article talks a little bit about, and it's true, that we rely on our rabbis and our rabbanim to kind of give us some direction also. And it would be nice if we had some rabbis who would actually give a class on this, a shir on this, if they would actually perhaps speak about it on Shabbos morning in the drasha. So, have you spoken to any rabbis about this, or what's been their reaction?
A lot don't fully grasp just how big the problem is, but also others they're just not sure what to do about it. But a few years ago, it was before Parshas Vayeshanan, because that's where we have the psukim of Nishmartem Me'odel Nafshoseichem and Rakesh Shamalukos. So we have all these psukim telling us we can't do things to harm ourselves, and we have to guard our bodies and watch our health. And I asked the rabbis in town to speak about it that Shabbos, and several did. One of them I spoke with privately, and is it really such a big issue? And we had a talk, and he was great. He was very receptive, and then he talked about it very emphatically, and I got feedback from people in the shul about how he said it was a chiv to exercise, and we really have to take it seriously. And so I think there there is a lot of potential there in working with the rabbis, but it has to be that we have to, as a community, have to recognize that this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So we have a chiyuv from psukim, and there's other sources, since we know that our bodies belong to God, not us, and so we're a shomer on our bodies. We're obligated, we're chayav for negligence. Like, we have to maintain our bodies appropriately. And if we take it as a mitzvah, then we can realize that we have to prioritize that too. Otherwise, we're back in the boat of, we have so much competition for little time, and how do we deal with that?
But what I think shouldn't happen, which I'm afraid sometimes does happen, is that, then you're going to have some people who say, well, now from now on, when we have the Kiddush and Shul, okay, we're not going to have any Chalt, we're not going to have any Kogel, we're not having any Kishka, and so they'd make it so that everybody, now everyone has to be part of it, somehow I think that's wrong. I think, look, the point is people have to learn moderation. They have to learn to do everything in moderation, and each individual has to do what they want. You should have, at a Kiddush, you should have a salad bar, and that's great. Give people choices, have a salad bar, let them have things like that, and if they want to, let them have the other things, and if they want to, let them have it in moderation. If they want to have it in more, let them have it in more. It's okay. We can't be police people and regulate everything that goes on. I think that's wrong. I hope we don't get to that point. I know that it could happen easily, because I know people who are really into this thing, and once somebody gets into something on their own, they think the whole world has to listen to everything they're saying.
Right. I agree with you completely. If you try to force things on everybody, then you just antagonize people and you set the cause backwards, not forwards. What we need to do is, have the healthier options there, and then so that it becomes socially acceptable to make the healthier choices, and then over time we hope to improve. But it always comes down to moderation. You can eat healthy generally, and it's okay to have ice cream sometimes and to go ahead and have other treats sometimes. So it is a question of moderation, but we have to get a better perspective, though, on what is moderation. I think a lot of people feel they're doing it in moderation, and they're really not.
Right. As I said, even Shira brings up, and ironically, she says, you know, we need to work as a community to create an environment that's more conducive to leading healthy lifestyles. That's what we have to do.
Exactly.
I think that's important, and I think that, you know, the work you're doing sounds really, really great. And there's also a term that's used in the article, which I thought interesting, which he called mindful eating, which is more or less, I guess, to be aware. You know, when we eat, we make a bracha, we think about it, you know, we thank God for it. So we should think about it, not just grab it and push it down right away. Maybe could you elaborate on that maybe for a minute?
Sure. And there's people who've focused on mindless eating and how much goes astray as a result. But I think that, you know, if we look at eating and say, how would a tzaddik eat? What would he eat? How would he eat? You know, what would be the right way to handle eating as an avodas Hashem? And if we think about that a little bit more, I think then we start to realize that not only are we falling very short, but we're not even cognizant of those things while we're eating, and eating is something that we should be paying attention to. And yeah, if we have it in mind that it's something that is a value to us, then we don't overeat as much. We make some better choices. We make at least the easier choices, like, I'm not really hungry. Why am I going to go ahead and take this now? I already had one dessert at home. You know, do I need to have another piece of dessert because I visited a friend on Shabbos and they offered me?
Right, exactly. And I think that's the point. Look, I think it's an important thing. It's an important thing to make people aware of. Just listen, if people are aware of it, then they'll just act appropriately. And whatever you can do, you can do. Look, I mean, you know, we spearheaded a whole program about, you know, with the Kiddush Club, and that was from a halachic point of view in a way, you know, that we didn't think shul should have a Kiddush Club, which we were against. And many rabbis, by the way, were very happy when we did that because they told us, now you've given us the ammunition to speak about it. I think if we do this correctly and we work cooperatively, I think we can get the rabbanim and schools to work along with us, and hopefully it'll make people just a little bit healthier and live better lives. So I think you're doing really something wonderful. We're looking forward to some of the research that you're doing and what's going on in Cleveland, Ohio, where you're from, and see how it could become some kind of a role model for other communities. So we thank you very much, Dr. Mendel Singer, who's the Associate Professor of Public Health at Case Western Reserve University and Director of the Jewish Community Health Initiative. Thank you so much for doing this great work for the Jewish people, and we look forward to having you back on the program again. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.